called. We don't use that word so much anymore because it's text or tweeted or I'm not in the middle of this, Instagram, I don't even know what's going on. But the word called is a great word. Actually, it's in the Bible quite a bit. Many are called, few are. Yep, the word in Greek is kaleo, called. From that word we get in Greek ekklesia. Ek is out of, called. So ekklesia represents who? The church. You are the ekklesia, called out of the world. So it's a great word, called. But today we're going to look at that in the context of 2 Peter. Now, I'm hoping everybody has a Bible today because we're going to literally do some exegesis. So, ek is out of, Jesus is knowledge or knowing or meaning. And so we're going to get some meaning out of the text. So we're literally going to go through 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. And we're going to get meaning out of that. And we're going to all feel very called by what Peter is asking us. Actually, this is some of the stuff that you're going to see as we read through 2 Peter, that we all have been called. We've actually been called to grow. That we have everything already. That we have power to escape the corruption in the world. We can fall away if we do not grow spiritually. However, we will be richly welcomed by Jesus if we do grow. So this is a good lesson. It's an important lesson. It's one that we can take home with us. It's one that we can chew on all week long. So let's dig into the text. Literally what we're going to do, we're going to stick to the text. We're going to draw out everything we can from the text. And probably we're going to learn a lot about Bible study, how to study your Bible. Remember when I first picked up the Bible as a teenager, I was so lost. I didn't know what I was doing, how to study the Bible. I was so grateful that someone said to me as a college student, hey, I'll teach you how to study the Bible. I'm like, wow, that's amazing. And I really needed like a Bible 101 just to figure out how to even hold the Bible, navigate around the Bible. And ever since I had that lesson, I've just thrived on being able to understand how to study the Bible, get into the Bible, into the deeper text. Which mic should I use? Continue to use this one? Okay. It just turned up really loud. So are we ready for this journey? Okay. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through, and we're going to see these words a lot, through, for, by, therefore. And when we do see these words, a light needs to come on when we see these words because it means something. We need to tie something together. So here's the first example. To those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. Peter is talking about his faith. And it's a precious faith. And it says literally that we too can have that faith, that same faith Peter had. How? It's that word through. To those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior have received a faith. So how do we receive the faith? Through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Isn't that beautiful that we can have the same faith as Peter? Peter's a spiritual giant, but we can have the same faith he had through the righteousness of God and the Savior Jesus Christ. That it's Jesus' design that we all have Peter's faith. That we all have that level of that precious faith. Verse 2. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. That we have not only a precious faith, the same faith Peter had, but we also have grace and peace and security. And this is what all of us want every day. Every day is a battle. Every day you fight. There are demons that battle against you every day. And you need some grace and some peace. We all need encouragement. We all need to be built up. We all need people to help us. Come on, brother, you can do it. Sister, you can do it. We can do this thing. And where, according to this verse, where do we get this grace and peace? Through what? The knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. And where do we get the knowledge? You're holding it with you right there. The more you're in the Bible, the more knowledge you have, the more knowledge you have, the more grace and peace is in your life. Isn't that beautiful? What we really, really want is people. It's right there in your hand. You get in the Bible, you access that grace and peace. Verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him. Peter is saying we have everything we need. Everything. Do we feel that way? No. We could sit down and make a list of all the things that we need. I need this and this and this. Couldn't we make that list? But if we're really honest, we go back and we think, are these needs or wants? There's a lot of stuff we want, but God knows what we truly need. So not everything you want is necessarily even good for you. And God loves you so much that He won't even give you stuff that you really believe you need if it's not good for you. He actually is answering your prayer. Because we don't know what's best for us. So thank God we have a loving God who cares for us so much that He's going to give us not just what we need, but according to this verse, everything we need. What a blessing. What a promise. And again, where does this come from? Where does this everything we need come from? Through. There's that word through again. Through what? Through our knowledge of Him. And where do we get the knowledge? Bible study. See how important Bible study is just from these three verses? Just from these three verses, it basically says that we can have a faith as precious as Peter's, that we can have the grace and peace in abundance that Peter had. Not just grace and peace, but grace and peace in abundance. And that we can have a divine power that gives us everything through Bible study. Isn't that amazing? So, if we're never in our Bible, how do you think it's going to work out for us? Probably not so good. But if you are, if you choose to do this, and you're in your Bible, and you may say, well, I don't even know how to read the Bible. I'm glad you're here, because chances are whoever invited you can give you a little Bible 101, and they can probably help you with that. Say, hey, let's sit down, and I'll show you how I study the Bible, and let me show you how you can maneuver around the Bible, because that's where all the promises are. That's where all the faith is and all the peace is and all the security. All these promises are in Scripture. And so it's essential that we get into our Bibles. But that's not even all of verse 3. Isn't it amazing how much is just, we haven't even gone through three verses yet, right? So verse 3 says, His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. You have been called. Called by what? What does it say here? What does the Bible say? Called by two things. Called by His glory and called by His goodness. I have a scripture. You don't have to turn there. Romans 1:20. I have it up on the board here. Romans 1:20. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. Every day I like to go outside and just praise God for the creation. I like to take prayer walks, and I just praise God for the blue sky, for the white clouds, the trees and all their shapes, the beautiful leaves, the stained glass that I see of blue and green and blue and green, and then these pillars in God's cathedral of brown, and these incredible towers of trees around. And then in the fall, it's great because the floor in God's cathedral is this is mosaic of reds and golds and greens and browns, and it's just gorgeous. And the Bible says that's what God created the world for, is for us to just be in awe and wonder and praise Him. Literally, the creation is calling you. Calling you to what? It's calling you by God's glory and goodness. So it's not just His glory, but also His goodness. That's why I put John 3:16 on the board. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That God not only calls us by the creation, by how powerful it is, but He calls us through His love for us. That Jesus loves us so much that He would die, even if we were the only one He could save, He would still die for us. Verse 4, you ready for another verse? Verse 4, through these, through what? We have to go back, through what? Through that divine faith, through that grace and peace, through the knowledge of God, through the divine power that gives us everything we need for a godly life, that we've been given everything through God's glory and goodness, through all these, He has given us what? His very great and precious promises. God just doesn't give us just promises. He gives us precious promises. And God does not even give us just precious promises. He gives us very great and precious promises. And how do we get these very great and precious promises? We have to go backwards. Through being called by glory and goodness. Through having everything we need, through our knowledge of Him, and having that grace and peace and precious faith that comes from Peter. Boy, I tell you, Bible study gives you a lot. Bible study will ratchet you up to become a radically different person. You'll become a person of faith and vision, of confidence and security, of peace. You'll become the person God designed you to be. God didn't give us all these promises to make us miserable. God didn't give us all these promises to weigh us down with all these laws and sophisticated things we have to do that we could never even do. God literally designed us to be heirs of promises, to build us up, to give us faith and security and an amazing life through Jesus Christ. That's our God. Isn't that encouraging? That's what God has designed our life to be. He's given us very great and precious promises. And what do those lead to? Verse 4 again. You got to go back to verse 4. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them, through what? Through the promises, you may what? You may participate in something. So the promises are there so that you can then participate in something. And what is He talking about participating in here? Divine nature. That, I don't know, that's mind-blowing to me. You can literally participate in the divine. Wow. Who are we? What qualities do we have that we deserve to participate in the divine? I am so grateful. So God has given us these promises so that we can actually participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. So now let's get honest here. We all have evil desires. I have evil desires. I do not like them. I do not want them. I wish they would go away. I wish I were perfect, but I'm not. And I have to fight evil desires every day. I wish I didn't have to. I wish they weren't there, but they are. But the Bible gives me a promise here. Despite the evil desires, what does it say? It says, I can escape something. What can I escape here that's caused by evil desires? I can escape the corruption caused by evil desires. You see, what the evil desires do is they corrupt us. They corrupt our thinking. See, we love God. We want to be like God. We want to participate in this divine nature. But what happens is all this corruption's going on. Oh, but you're not good enough. You'll never be good enough. You're just such a sinner. You're just such a failure. You're such a loser. We listen to all these thoughts that Satan gives us. Why do we listen to these thoughts? Because they corrupt us. That's what Satan wants to do. He wants to corrupt you. Fact, you are a sinner. Fact, you will always be one. Fact, you will never be perfect on your own without Jesus. Fact, you're going to have evil thoughts. Fact, Satan's going to use those evil thoughts to corrupt you. What is his goal? His goal is to take you out. He doesn't even have to physically take you out of the church. That's not the point. He wants to physically take you out of the promises. He wants to take you out of the faith, the precious faith that Peter had, that precious faith of all those promises, all that power. It's amazing. He wants to destroy you. He's going to corrupt your thinking so that you no longer believe the promises, or you no longer believe God loves you, or you no longer believe that He really cares for you and is lifting you up and has all this vision for you. And suddenly, you're just here physically, struggling, not encouraged, falling out of favor. That's Satan's plan for you. Don't let him do that. We all do. We all fail in this. But we have promises to get us out of it. The Bible says, how do we escape the corruption of the world? By participating in the divine nature. It says the evil desires are there. The world causes these evil desires, but we can escape the corruption that these evil desires cause so that we can participate in the divine nature. Isn't that amazing? We don't have to live in the corruption of evil desires and the corruption of all the false accusations that Satan plays on our heads. That we can literally say, no, back away and participate in the divine nature. That we can go outside and be called by God, by the creation, to participate in the divine nature. That we can recognize the cross. We can recognize how Jesus is calling us back. And we can participate in the divine nature. That we can get into our Bible. And the knowledge of what we're reading in the Bible, wow, opens our eyes so that we can participate in the divine nature. So our life can go from being accused and guilt-ridden to being thriving in the Spirit. Thriving in the promises, that we can walk in excited to see what God's going to do. We can wake up in the morning and all that guilt suddenly floods us and say, wait a minute, I can participate in the divine nature. And we tear away all those guilty feelings and say, what's God going to do today with me? What are we going to do together here? That's Christianity. That's true Christianity. True Christianity isn't being guilt-ridden, having no hope and no promises, just dragging ourselves to things. True Christianity is participating in the divine nature, being called by God, feeling God all around us and saying, that's what I want. And being filled with hope and promises and security. That's Christianity. But if you're not in your Bible, sermons are really weak when it comes to changing lives. I got to be honest. So even if you say that, wow, that was a really great sermon, you know what? It'll last maybe 20 minutes. But I'll tell you how you can make this last a lot longer. Get in your Bible. You say, but it's so hard. I don't know what to do. Get some help. Let me just have some people raise hands. I don't want to put anybody on the spot. Feel no pressure. But if you would like to help people understand the Bible more, just raise your hand. Okay? I think we have enough. Talk to somebody that raised their hand, and they will help you get into the Scriptures. We have a lot to escape from. A lot of evil desires. Galatians 5:17, I don't know if that's up there. Galatians 5:17 says the sinful nature is contrary to the Spirit. The Spirit is contrary to the sinful nature. They're in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. You see, it's a constant battle. And the battle's not going anywhere because we got those evil desires. We have that sinful nature. It's not going anywhere. Not going anywhere. But that doesn't mean you can't be different. You can participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption caused by evil desires. Romans 8:13 has a promise. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. That's not good news. That's our nature. If we do nothing, that's what's going to happen. If we do nothing. However, it says, but if by the Spirit, if by God's Spirit, you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. We have power. The Holy Spirit in our lives gives us the power to say no to sin. No. 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 And participate in the divine nature. You know, as a kid, I wanted to have superpowers. I don't know about you, but I wanted to have superpowers. Dave Alvarado's admitting he wanted to have superpowers. I think Dave still wants them, actually. But here's the good news. We all have it. If you're a disciple, if you become a disciple of Jesus and you have repented of your sins and you have been baptized into Christ's death, burial, and resurrection with Jesus, you have been born again. You are a different person. You have the power of God living in your lives. You have more power than you know what to do with. You have so much power in your life that you can literally say no to sin and sin will go. Isn't that amazing? This is how we participate in the divine nature. And we're not even done. Maybe we don't have time to finish. I guess we do. We'll go quickly. This is such a great passage. Verse 5. So we only got through four verses. See how powerful the Bible is? It's amazing. Verse 5. For this very reason. For what reason? For what reason are we getting this? For this very reason. For what reason? And then we go backwards. If you want to, if you got your Bible there, go backwards. From verse 5, go backwards. For what reason? The reason that we can escape the corruption of the world caused by evil desires, because we can participate in the divine nature. Having already escaped the corruption, we get to participate in the divine nature. And this comes about because of the very great and precious promises that we have gotten from God. And that comes about because we've been called by His glory and goodness because of our knowledge of Him. And we have everything we need. And we have grace and peace and a precious faith, just like Peter. So for all these reasons, what is Peter telling us to do? What are our marching orders here? What does he want to accomplish in our lives? He tells it right here. For this very reason, what? Make every effort. So he's not saying try. He's saying make every effort. So this is serious stuff. For this very reason, make every effort to add. So it's talking about growth. Add to your faith goodness. So grow. Grow. Because of all these precious promises, we need to grow. We need to add. We need to add to our faith goodness and to goodness knowledge. And isn't it beautiful that we can add to our knowledge so easily today? Most of us have 5 or 6 Bibles in our houses and various translations. And not only that, but we can add to that knowledge self-control. Who here doesn't need a little more self-control? Mike said he doesn't need any. Oh, you do need some. Okay. We all need more. So how do we get it? All these things going backwards. And to that we add perseverance. And why do we need to grow in our perseverance? Because life doesn't get easier. It gets more challenging. But the beauty is, if you're a Christian that's maturing, that's growing, that's adding, you actually get added to you great
security because of the divine nature, because of being able to escape and participating in the precious faith of Jesus. And to that perseverance, you add godliness, which simply means being like God. And to godliness, what do you add? Mutual affection or brotherly kindness, which literally in the Greek is Philadelphia. The Greek word literally is Philadelphia. So you're adding Philadelphia. And then after that, what do you add to that Philadelphia, that brotherly love? What do you add to that? The agape love, the commitment. So Peter is calling us to grow. We have all been called to grow, but not just to try to grow, to make every effort to grow because of these promises, because we've been given so much. Matthew 18:3 says, "I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Growth for a Christian is not an option, it is a necessity. Jesus said, "Unless you grow, you'll die." Jesus said, "Unless you're going to become like little children, unless you're going to change, you're not entering heaven. You're not going to get there." Growth is a part of the plan. It's not like you can just become a Christian and then coast into heaven. You become a Christian for a purpose, for a reason. That's why we're here. Otherwise, when you became a Christian, you would have been whisked up to heaven. There's no reason to be here. If you're a Christian, if your sins have already been forgiven, why are you here? There's a reason to be here. There's a mission to be here. And part of that mission is to grow and become more and more like Jesus, to participate in that divine nature. I mean, I have to admit, I don't like changing. Well, let me say this. I don't like having to change. And more deeply, I don't like having to struggle with things I have to change. I wish I didn't have to. And I wish that there was a point in my Christian life, because I've been a Christian 36 years. I mean, you would think after 36 years, I'd be okay. I'm not. There are things that I struggle with in my heart that I shouldn't be struggling with. There are negative emotions and negative thoughts that I just hate, and I wish they would go away. But I'm just going to have to grow. I'm just going to have to grow. I'm going to have to keep growing. I'm going to have to keep persevering. I'm going to have to keep adding to my faith goodness and knowledge and self-control and perseverance and godliness and love, because that's what I'm being called to do. I think there are a lot of us here that we don't want to have to change. We just want to coast for a while. Can we just be here for a while and just enjoy? Can we just not? Can you just let us alone for a minute so that we can just celebrate at least a little bit? Isn't that right? Have you ever thought this evil thought? I have. I've thought this evil thought. Well, God, well, I know if I change this, that's not going to be the end of it, because God's just going to give me another thing to change. So I might as well just stay here. Have you ever thought that evil thought? Okay, good. Thank you. I'm not alone. I appreciate that. But we've been called to change. We've been called to grow. I mean, consider the alternative. Here's what Peter's going to do. He's going to get into that in verse 8. Peter's going to get into the alternative of not growing. In case we were thinking about that, of just staying the same and not growing spiritually, he's going to get into that in verse 8. He says, but if, and that's a big if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, not if you possess them, but if you possess them in increasing measure, in other words, if you're growing, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Peter assumes that in your Christianity, that your Christian life is effective and productive. Is he correct? Because the only way to know that you're effective and productive is if you're growing. He's saying here, if you stop growing, you're going to be ineffective and unproductive. But the promise is, if you grow, there's no way you won't be effective and productive. Isn't that beautiful? And so let's keep going. Verse 9. But whoever does not have them, in other words, whoever is not growing, whoever is not increasing these things, is nearsighted and, wow, blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Wow, how dangerous is it to forget? Oh, if we forget, we die. So is growth an option? Not at all. So he wraps it up in verse 10. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort. And is this the second time he said every effort? First time he said it was when? In verse 5, when he said make every effort to grow. Now he's saying make every effort to what? To confirm. And how do we confirm? It's therefore. It's the therefore. Why is the therefore? It's therefore because of verse 9. Because we can fall away. We can become blind. We can become nearsighted. We can literally stop growing. And so Peter's like, don't go there. Instead, make every effort to confirm your what? Your calling. Remember that we've all been called? We have all been called an election. So can we fall away? That's not God's desire. It's not God's heart. It certainly isn't what God is hoping. God has vision for you. Not to just sit in a pew. Not to just come to church. Give a little, drink a little, go home. You can do that in a cinema. God's design for you is so far deeper. It's actually to participate in His nature, the divine nature. God's vision for you and aspiration for you is so far greater than your own vision for you. It's not to just exist in life. It's to thrive through life. That the Holy Spirit would live through you and give you the power to live the Christian life, the power to say no to sin, the confidence, security of that peace from Jesus Christ, that rich faith that Peter himself had. And then he finishes out here. He goes, for if you do these things, you will never fall. Is there a guarantee that we can make it to the end? It's right here. Peter says, if you grow, if you add to these things, if you participate in the divine nature, you will never fall. And Peter doesn't lie. Isn't that awesome? And verse 11, and you will what? Receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior. Wow. You know, on the last day, we will all know it was worth it. We will all know. So, to sum up, we have been called. Called to grow. We have everything we need already. We're missing nothing. We have everything. No matter what your brain says, no matter what your emotions say, what we're missing this. If we only had that, if I only were this, if I only were that. Nope. The Bible says you have everything you need. We have the power to escape the corruption of the world. When you feel powerless, it's a lie. You, if you have the power of the Holy Spirit, you are powerful. You can escape those thoughts, the corruption. Yes, we can fall away if we do not grow spiritually, but we will be richly welcomed if we do. Are we ready to persevere? Are we ready for this challenge? Are we ready for the calling of God? Then let's all stand up. Let's all sing. Let's close out with a great song. Let's leave here rejoicing in all the promises of Jesus.
Amen. You just listened to the Westchester Podcast. For more information about our ministry, please visit westchester.nyc.coc.net.